Welcome back, everybody. We're diving deep today into something I bet you haven't thought too much about since you were a kid.
Intriguing. Let's hear it.
We're talking about toy cars, specifically how those little plastic cars are made.
Ah, a classic. I have a feeling there's more to it than meets the eye.
You got that right. You guys sent in some really cool excerpts about injection molding. And let me tell you, even I was blown away by how much engineering goes into these tiny vehicles.
It's amazing what we take for granted, isn't it? The things we interact with every day often have these incredibly complex journeys from raw material to finished product.
Absolutely. So let's start with the heart of it all. Injection molding. Sounds kind of scary.
A little bit, yeah.
But it's actually behind a ton of everyday objects, not just toy cars.
Oh, for sure. It's really a brilliant process, you know, turning these little pellets of raw plastic into those detailed objects we see everywhere.
I'm picturing like a giant plastic-eating monster doing the tango.
Well, not quite. It's more like a four-step dance. Clamping, injection, cooling, and ejection.
Okay, break it down for us. What's actually happening in each step?
All right, so first, picture a metal mold. Think of it like a mirror image of the final part we want to make.
Got it.
We clamp the two halves of this mold together, and with a lot of force, you actually sent in a great visual to show this.
Oh, yeah. This image of the injection molding machine is really helpful. You can see the mold clamp shut.
Right.
And then what happens next?
That's when the injection happens. Mm. Molten plastic, basically like superheated liquid plastic, gets pumped into the mold. It fills every little corner under high pressure.
Okay, I'm starting to see how we get those tiny details.
That pressure is key. It makes sure the plastic replicates even the tiniest details of the mold.
Like those little grills on a toy car.
Exactly. Or even the lettering on the tires. Tiny stuff.
It's like a microscopic sculptor working at warp speed. But how does that plastic actually harden?
That's the cooling step. The molten plastic chills out inside the mold and becomes solid, taking on its final form. Then the mold opens up and poof, out pops the new part, all ready for assembly.
So that whole process happens super fast.
It's incredibly quick. And that's a big part of why injection molding is so perfect for making tons of toys.
Makes sense. Efficiency is key when you're talking about keeping up with the demand for these things.
Oh, definitely. It lets manufacturers churn out thousands, even millions of those identical cars, keeps costs down, and meets that high demand.
Talking about demand, the article you sent in mentioned how injection molding helps respond to trends, too.
Oh,
like, remember when that movie with the talking cars came out?
Mm-hmm.
And every kid suddenly wanted that exact model?
Perfect example. Injection molding helps manufacturers adapt quickly to those surges in demand so stores can keep up with the latest craze and keep those kids happy.
No disappointed kids. That's the goal.
Mm.
But it's not just about churning out tons of cars, is it? The source also talked about how injection molding has allowed for more complex designs over time.
Absolutely. Think about how toy cars have changed. Early ones were pretty basic shapes, you know?
Kind of chunky.
Exactly. But as injection molding got better, manufacturers could make way more detailed designs. Working doors, detailed engines, even moving parts.
Makes sense. That level of detail on such a huge scale, you wouldn't be able to do that with other methods, right?
Not easily, no.
But even with all these fancy designs, I can't help but think about those super bendy cars I had as a kid.
You know,
the ones you could practically tie in a knot. I'm guessing that has something to do with the type of plastic used.
You are so right. Not all plastics are the same.
Okay, so there's more to it.
The type of plastic is a big deal for how durable, flexible, even how safe a toy car is. And you guys sent some great excerpts about that.
Perfect. Let's dive into that.
Right?
I bet there's a whole world of plastic knowledge we're about to uncover.
Oh, there is. So let's start with one you've probably heard of, even if you don't realize it. Polypropylene, or PP.
PP rings a bell.
Remember those bendy cars we were just talking about?
Uh-huh.
Those were likely PP. It's known for being super flexible, really resilient. You can bend and twist it without it breaking.
Like a plastic gymnast.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Wow. It's also chemically resistant, so it's safe for kids, even if it ends up in the bathtub.
Or, let's be real, in their mouth.
Right. Safety first, always.
Exactly. Yeah. So PP is the bendy, resilient one.
Hmm.
What about those more rigid cars, like the detailed model cars?
Those are often made from something called acrylon or trilbutadiene styrene.
That's a mouthful.
It's easier to call it ABS.
ABS, okay. That one I have heard of. What makes it special?
ABS is all about toughness and detail. It's super strong, impact resistant, so it's perfect for model cars with delicate parts that need to, you know, withstand some rough play.
Like crashes and drops.
Exactly. Think about those model cars with opening doors, working headlights, detailed engines.
Makes sense. So ABS is like the superhero of toy car plastics.
Uh-huh. I like that. It can take a beating. Plus, ABS keeps its color really well. Those vibrant colors stay bright even after years of play.
That's why some of my old cars still look pretty good. But we've got the bendy PP, the tough ABS.
Right.
Instead of those simpler, cheaper cars. There's got to be another material in the mix, right?
You bet. Not every car needs to be super fancy. For simpler designs, there's polyethylene.
Polyethylene.
Or PE, for sure.
PE.
Yeah.
What's special about this one?
PE is like the workhorse of toy car plastics. Awesome. Tough, durable, but also really cost effective.
Yeah.
It's often used for those chunky cars for toddlers or basic car shapes that don't need crazy detail.
So it's like the reliable friend. Not flashy, but gets the job done.
Uh-huh. Perfect analogy. PE might not be as detailed as PP or as strong as ABS.
Right.
But it works and it keeps costs down, which is important for making toys accessible for everyone.
Absolutely. So we've got our plastic trifecta. PP for flexibility, ABS for strength and detail, and PE for that good old affordability and durability. But hold on, I'm curious. Are there other ways to make toy cars besides injection molding? The source mentioned some alternatives.
Oh, you're right. Injection molding might be king, but there are other techniques out there.
Interesting.
And each one has its own strengths and weaknesses.
Okay, I'm all ears. Let's take a little detour and explore these other roads in the world of toy car making.
All right, let's start with blow molding. You've probably seen blow molded toys without even knowing it.
Really?
It's really good for making hollow parts.
Hollow parts, like what?
Think of the bodies of some of those big toy trucks, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or those squeezable toys that are hollow but hold their shape. Blow molding is perfect for that because it makes lightweight, strong structures.
It's like blowing up a balloon but with hot plastic, right?
That's the idea. It's not as precise as injection molding when it comes to tiny details.
Okay.
But it's great for certain types of parts.
Makes sense. So blow molding's good for those larger hollow shapes. What about those long straight tracks that usually come with toy cars?
Good point.
I can't imagine those being made with injection molding.
You're right. Those are usually made with something called extrusion.
Extrusion. Wow.
And get this. You're probably familiar with it, even if you don't know the name.
How so?
Think of Play-Doh and that fun factory thing.
Oh, the one that squeezes out shapes.
Yes. Extrusion's like that, but with plastic. It squeezes out long, continuous shapes.
Like a plastic pasta maker.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So blow molding for hollow parts, extrusion for long pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the one everyone's buzzing about these days. 3D printing.
Oh, 3D printing. Now we're talking future tech.
Right.
It feels like 3D printing can make almost anything. How does it work for making toy cars?
It's pretty cool. Imagine printing a one-of-a-kind toy car with your own custom design right from your home.
Now that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
No more searching eBay for rare collectibles. You could just make them.
Exactly. And that's the appeal. You can customize, personalize everything. Kids could design their dream cars. The possibilities are endless.
So 3D printing is like a magic wand that can bring childhood fantasies to life.
You got it.
But what about those tiny details and different plastics? Can 3D printing do that too?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. 3D printing is always evolving. We're already seeing multi-material printing, so you can create objects with different textures in the same print.
Well, hold on. So you could have a car with a hard ABS body,
yeah,
but with flexible PP tires,
yeah,
for a more realistic feel.
Exactly. And as the tech gets better, we'll see even more crazy options.
That opens up so many possibilities. But if 3D printing is so great, why isn't everyone using it to make toy cars right now?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
It's great for one-offs and prototypes, but when you need to make millions of toys,
yeah,
it's just not as fast or cheap as injection molding yet.
So injection molding still reigns supreme for those mass-produced cars we all know and love. It's just so fast, so precise, so versatile with the materials.
You hit the nail on the head. It's a marvel of engineering, really. A testament to how clever we humans are, that we can create these seemingly simple toys that bring so much joy.
It's a good reminder that there's often a lot more going on beneath the surface than we realize. But hey, we're just getting started. We've got a lot more to uncover about this fascinating world of toy cars. So buckle up.
Yeah.
Because our deep dive continues in part two. And we're back, still cruising along on our deep dive into the world of toy cars.
The journey continues.
We've uncovered the secrets of injection molding, met the plastic all-stars PP, ABS, and PE,
right,
and even taken a detour into those alternative manufacturing routes.
It's pretty amazing how much goes into these little toys, isn't it?
It really is. Like, it's a whole world hidden inside something we usually don't even think twice about.
Yeah.
But before we get too far ahead, I want to go back to something you said earlier. How injection molding isn't just about making a ton of cars quickly.
Uh-huh.
It's also about staying on top of trends, meeting that demand. The Source even compared it to, like, the movie industry.
Oh, that's a great comparison. Both industries thrive on, you know, novelty and excitement.
Right.
New movies, shows, video games, they all spark this frenzy for merchandise. And toy cars are definitely part of that.
It's like that scene in Toy Story 2 when Woody realizes he's a collector's item and suddenly everyone wants him.
Exactly. And you know when a new animated movie comes out, one with talking cars or something?
Oh, yeah.
Toy manufacturers are scrambling to get those specific models out there ASAP.
So injection molding isn't just a process. It's like a strategic weapon for the whole toy industry.
Uh-huh.
Keeps everything running smoothly.
I like that. It's the engine that keeps things moving, adapting to those sudden changes in what's hot.
And it's not just about churning out tons of cars either. Think about the level of detail in these toys. Injection molding can nail those intricate designs, perfectly capturing those popular characters and vehicles.
You're absolutely right.
The Source material even talked about cars with tiny working parts, like opening doors, functioning headlights.
It's incredible, right?
It blows my mind that that level of detail comes from this process.
It really is. It's a real testament to the precision, the craftsmanship of it all.
Speaking of craftsmanship, those molds.
Yeah.
Super curious about how they're made. Sounds crazy complex.
It's quite a process. Mm-hmm. A mix of high tech and good old fashioned skill.
Well.
It usually starts with a digital model of the part, you know, a CAD model.
Okay.
And then they use that to actually create a physical mold, usually out of steel or aluminum.
So it's like 3D printing, but for metal.
Kind of, yeah. There are different ways to do it, like machining or electrical discharge machining.
Ah.
They basically carve out the mold, creating these super precise cavities.
So it's like microsculpting.
Exactly. And the quality of that mold, it directly affects the quality of the toy car. A good mold means consistent, high-quality parts for, like, millions of uses.
So the molds themselves are investments. Better mold, better toys, happier kids.
You got it.
But I want to shift gears for a sec. Talk about something that's becoming more and more important in every industry these days, including toys.
Okay. Sustainability.
Exactly. As we become more aware of our impact on the planet.
Yeah.
People want eco-friendly products, and that includes toys.
For sure. Parents want to feel good about the toys their kids are playing with, you know, that they're not harming the environment.
Exactly. So where does sustainability fit into this whole toy car world?
Right.
How do we even start addressing that?
It's a big challenge, but the toy industry is making some good progress.
Like what?
One key area is the choice of material. Remember our plastic trio, PP, ABS, and PE.
The bendy, the tough, and the workhorse.
Yeah.
What about them?
Well, they all have different recycling properties. Some are easier to recycle than others.
No.
Some can even be made from recycled materials in the first place. So choosing the right plastic isn't just about how it performs.
Right.
It's also about what happens to it when it's no longer a toy.
So it's about the whole lifespan of the toy, from creation to, like, disposal.
Exactly. And a lot of toy companies are starting to use recycled plastics in their products.
That's great.
Some are even looking into bio-based plastics made from plants.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. It's awesome to see the industry moving in this direction. But what about the manufacturing process itself? Can that be made more sustainable?
Oh, absolutely. Manufacturers are always trying to cut down on waste during production.
How so?
They optimize the injection molding to use less plastic, use energy-efficient machines, even figure out ways to reuse or recycle the molds.
So it's about looking at every single step of the process and finding ways to minimize the environmental impact.
Exactly. It's about finding that sweet spot, you know?
Yeah.
Making a fun toy for kids, but also being mindful of the planet.
Like a shift in mindset. It's not just about making a product, but thinking about its whole life cycle and how it affects the world around us.
Right.
But with all this talk about sustainability and responsibility, I'm wondering, what about the fun factor? Are eco-friendly toys just as cool and exciting?
That's a great question. And the answer is absolutely.
Really?
In fact, a lot of eco-friendly toys are even more innovative and engaging.
How so?
Well, there's this trend towards toys that encourage STEM learning.
Yeah.
You know, getting kids interested in science, tech, engineering, math through play.
Okay.
And toy cars are perfect for that.
So it's about making toys that are not just fun to play with, but also educational.
Exactly. We're seeing toy cars with robotics, coding, even augmented reality. It's blurring the lines between physical and digital play.
Whoa, that's next level. It's like taking those childhood dreams of building and customizing your own cars and actually bringing them to life.
Exactly.
Man, I'm kind of getting nostalgic for my own toy car collection now.
Yeah.
But let's not get too sappy just yet. We've still got one more part of our deep dive to go. And we're back for the final lap of our toy car deep dive.
The finish line is in sight.
It's amazing how much we've uncovered from that whole injection molding process
right.
to those plastic superstars and even a glimpse into the world of eco-friendly toys.
It's been quite the journey. We've explored where toy carts have been, where they are now, but
yeah.
Now I'm excited to look ahead, you know, to the future.
Me too. And from what we've learned from all your awesome sources, it sounds like the future of toy cars is going to be wild.
Buckle up. There are some really cool possibilities out there.
Okay, I'm ready.
And I think one of the biggest trends we'll see is technology, especially 3D printing, taking an even bigger role.
We talked about 3D printing earlier, but I feel like we just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
What kind of impact do you think it'll have on the whole toy industry?
Well, right now, it's mainly used for prototypes and those limited edition or custom design toys.
Right.
But as it gets better and cheaper, yeah, I think we'll see a big shift towards personalized toy production.
Imagine designing and printing your own toy car.
Yeah.
Right at home. Any design you can think of, custom mm-hmm. colors, features,
yeah,
even little personalized details.
Exactly. It'd be like having your own mini toy factory.
That's so cool.
And I think this move towards personalization will really change how toys are designed, made, even marketed.
It's almost like going back to a more handmade approach, but with the power of tech behind it.
Yeah.
Instead of those mass-produced toys that are all the same, we'd have these unique creations that reflect each kid's imagination.
I think you're right. This shift could even lead to more local production, too. Instead of relying on huge factories overseas,
yeah,
we might see smaller local businesses popping up offering 3D printing services for personalized toys.
That's fascinating. It would totally shake up the whole supply chain, bring toy production closer to home. But what about the big toy companies? What happens to injection molding if everyone can just print their own toys?
Good question. I think we'll probably see a blend of both.
Okay.
Injection molding is still going to be around for those mass-produced toys that need to be affordable and easy to find everywhere. But 3D printing will open up new opportunities, you know, niche markets, custom designs, limited edition collectibles, that kind of thing.
So instead of replacing injection molding completely, 3D printing will kind of like work alongside it, offering a totally different approach to toy creation.
Exactly. It's like having the best of both worlds.
But technology isn't the only thing shaping the future of toy cars, right?
Oh, you're right. Sustainability is a big one, too.
Yeah.
We talked about those eco-friendly materials and manufacturing processes before.
Right.
But I think the focus on sustainability is only going to grow in the coming years.
It makes sense. Consumers, especially parents, are getting more and more aware of how their choices affect the environment. They want toys that are fun for their kids,
yeah,
but also good for the planet.
Exactly. And I think that demand for eco-conscious toys is going to drive some serious innovation. We'll keep seeing that push for recycled and bio-based plastics, cutting down on waste during production, even designing toys that last longer.
It's like a circular economy for toys where materials are reused and recycled.
Yes.
And we minimize waste and that impact on the environment.
Exactly. And this whole sustainability thing, I think it'll also affect how toys are designed and played with, too.
How so?
We might see a move away from those disposable toys, you know, the ones that are trendy for a minute and then get tossed aside.
Yeah.
And more towards those classic designs that can be passed down to younger siblings or even kept as keepsakes.
It's like going back to those toys from our grandparents' time, but with a modern eco-conscious twist. And wouldn't that also encourage a more mindful way of playing?
I think so.
Kids would learn to value and care for their toys, understanding they're not just things, but something special.
I love that idea. It's about fostering a deeper connection between kids and their toys, teaching them to be responsible and appreciative. And it all comes back to creating a more sustainable and mindful world, starting with something as simple as a toy car.
It's incredible how much potential these little cars have. They're not just toys, they're symbols of innovation, creativity, and even a path towards a better future.
Well said. As we wrap up our deep dive, I'm filled with this sense of wonder and excitement. Who knows what amazing things are in store for toy cars? What incredible new designs will we see? It's really exciting to think about.
It's been an amazing journey exploring the past, present, and future of toy car manufacturing. And for me, the biggest takeaway is that there's always more to learn, even about things we think we know.
Absolutely. That curiosity, that willingness to explore, is what unlocks the hidden wonders of the world around us. And sometimes those wonders are hidden in plain sight, disguised as something as ordinary as a toy car. So true. Well, folks, that brings our deep dive to a close. We hope this has sparked your own curiosity, inspired you to look at the world around you in a whole new way.
Thanks for coming along on this ride with us.
Until next time, keep on exploring.